Okay, well, Dave Bradley has moved to do a bit of an audio promenade himself, really, and just wander through the whole system. We're delighted now to be able to welcome the highly recommended Paul Taylor from LonCon 3, highly recommended by Alison amongst us, which is great stuff. Paul, good to speak with you.
It's good to speak with you, Alex.
Paul, what's your official title, or is it a case of just Minister Without Portfolio or General Major Domo?
I am Deputy Head of Promotions for LonCon 3. The convention split into different divisions, of which promotions is one, and it's essentially we're marketing, social media, recruitment of members, and the merchandise. We've got some fantastic sweatshirts, t-shirts, shirts, tote bags, all kinds of things.
It's very much a case of the way in which the quality of the merchandise has also improved. As I was saying earlier about the sort of change in fandom and so on, sometimes I mourn the lack of those Banda-produced A4-sized sheets that people would produce. But certainly in terms of high-tech material, yes, websites are still there, but it's nice to see you haven't given up on paper completely.
Well, absolutely, and because a lot of people still prefer it. And We have to cater for what our members want, and so yes. So we've got two different online guides for the program. We've also got printed and paper updates for that for the people who want to use it.
Well, I know Hal and Ellison, amongst others, would be sort of very keen to ensure that paper is still maintained. He's got his own views on screen technology, and we won't repeat them at this particular stage, etc. So here we are, day two. Clearly, the thing is flowing wonderfully well from that point of view. What are your highlights been so far?
I have to say, as an organiser, I get to see very little of it.
It's the ultimate sacrifice, but you're taking one for the team, Paul.
Yes, yes, and poor Alison here is...
Exactly, I think a campaign needs to be started already to actually ensure that, you know, yes. Alison is the celebrating the sort of the sacrifice that she's making.
Yes, no, it takes people behind the scenes to make these things work, and what we're doing is giving, you know, 8,000 people over the weekend a great time.
Which, as I said, I said when we were speaking with Dave Bradley earlier, that to me, this is, for science fiction aficionados, very much the equivalent of the Olympic Games for sports fans. I mean, what you've got here is an international organisation, an international event that celebrates the best of creativity in the human spirit.
Absolutely. And we've got people from, I think we're at 64 countries yesterday. And it's amazing. We've put this on, and they've come.
The days probably where SF was seen as a Western, American, Hollywood and British culture, with, of course, nods in the direction of Jules Verne and the French authors and the occasional Stanislav Lem, etc. I think that's moved. It has become a global phenomenon.
Absolutely, yes. And not just Anglophone, but across lots of languages. You know, the convention is primarily English, but so many different languages, so many different people coming.
And personal favourites from yourself? I mean, something which, again, is always a bit of a loaded question, but in terms of authors, I mean, we've already heard that some of our other regular telephonic phonies, such as Sarah Pinborough, are to be seen on the conference floor, etc., and we were speaking to John Jarrell later on from that perspective. Clearly, a whole range of other authors, George R.R. Martin was around from that point of view. Any particular favourites that you'd like to flag up?
Certainly George R.R. Martin. I saw him, I was involved with an EasterCon a couple of years ago where he was a guest, and I'd really love to see one of his items. Robin Hobb, I stormed through all of the books of hers that I could lay my hands on at one point, and I'm really hoping to get to see her too.
And Joe Haldeman has indeed been spotted as well.
Oh, right.
40 years of the Forever War.
Yes, no, it's... We had a list of kind of people who are coming, and you look down the list and you think, I know so many of these new, and they're going to be here. And yeah,
chance to breathe the same air as greatness, really. And now the official line about sort of we still breathe molecules that Einstein breathed, but it's nice to actually connect with that.
Yes, yeah, and you know, names that have been on book covers on my shelves for years, and they're actually going to be here. Whether I'll get to catch up with them, I don't know, but it's...
Without yourself, Paul, they probably wouldn't be here. So there we are. That's the bottom line. That's how you must take solace in that particular response. As far as LongCon 3 is concerned, it is a success. We know that. I mean, we're delighted to actually be here for this day, at least to get a snapshot of the whole thing. There are a lot of conventions that are running in the system now. I mean, in fact, you could probably actually simply just make a partial living just by organising conventions in all sorts of ways. We still have the small-scale ones. We still have the large-scale ones. Do you find that actually, you know, one LongCon, one World Science Fiction convention is enough for yourself, or is it a case of, no, you're already planning ahead for various other events as well?
Personally, I'm planning ahead for the next EasterCon, where I'm on the committee.
So that'll be with John Gerald as well, presumably.
Yes.
He's always trying to persuade me to go to EasterCon. He came very close this year, and in the end I sort of was veered more into Andercon, because it was the first ever Jamie Anderson event, etc.
Yes. They're different kinds of events. But yes, as you say, this August is an amazing month for conventions in this country. We had 9 Worlds and DiscworldCon last weekend. We've got WorldCon this weekend, next weekend the ShamrockCon, and things going on in between as well.
A-level results, for instance, in the university sector. I won't even go there, but still, they've all done very well.
Yes, I looked at The Guardian this morning and I thought, oh yes, it's that time, isn't it?
Precisely. Still, hopefully, I will actually see the students who are signing up for English or indeed film studies at the University of Lincoln can look forward to reaching level 3, and then they get a science fiction module for either science fiction, film and television, or indeed science fiction for the English degree, which is my way of actually ensuring that we ensure that the next generation of writers are being suitably developed.
Yes, that's fantastic. And that's one of the great things about the academic stream here, that it's bringing in that kind of thought, that kind of reflection, and feeding in both directions, you know, back into academia. Anglia Ruskin have put in an awful lot of support for the convention, and just the number of people from different universities that we've got coming, that's... I am just amazed at the academic programme.
Well, you could add the University of Lincoln covering it from the SIRNFM perspective as well. So there we are, flag that up. Paul, it's been fantastic just sharing some thoughts with you, good self, today. We look forward to obviously connecting with you after the event and a whole range of other bits and pieces. But from all the attendees, I'm sure I speak on behalf of the whole setup for yourself and the rest of the team. Very well done indeed.
Well, thank you. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.
So having spoken to Dave Bradley and the team from SFX magazine, and obviously updated with a whole range of things there with respect to San Diego Comic Con, I was attracted in this audio promenade by the stand for Anthony Fucilla. And I think we're speaking to the legend that is Anthony Fucilla in person. Anthony, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Now, here we are. We've got Quantum Chronicles in the 11th dimension. I just thought we had 5 dimensions. Here we are in the 11th dimensions. Talk to us about what you've actually produced here.
Well, my background is philosophy and theology. I'm essentially a philosopher, and I look at science within my work to prove that actually God exists. Most of my work is centered on metaphysics. I look at what is reality, ontological concepts, what is it to be human, what does it mean to exist, and from where did we come? So I tackle some of the big questions in life within my work, along with time travel, mind control, parallel dimensions, and so on, looking at quantum mechanics and time travel, which is based around theoretical physics.
Now, the idea of the multiverse is something which is much beloved of SF fans and aficionados from that point of view. It's varied, it's so routine. I mean, there are people who say that we've already done this interview several thousand times and we won awards for it and all sorts of things. Just share with us, how did your life path bring you into this particular field?
Well, I studied philosophy and theology, and being a philosopher, I've always loved to tackle the big questions of life, like what is it to be human? Or where did the universe originate? Does God exist? Does science prove God's existence, or does science disprove God's existence? Obviously, as a theist and a Christian, I believe that science proves God's existence without a doubt. In fact, if we look at the universe is triune. I mean, as a Christian, I believe in the Trinity. I believe that God is 3-in-1. The universe is actually a Trinity, a space-time matter continuum. So we see actually the triunity of God's hand etched into the very fabric of the universe itself. And I look at these big, big questions, and I use science to actually prove that there is a God. And actually, the God of, shall I say, the Bible is actually revealed in the universe itself.
Well, there is, of course, that line which says that the Bible itself is just basic instruction booklet for the life experience. But we won't go there. Talk to us about the text itself, etc. Are these narratives, are they fictions? Are they philosophical tomes? What are they actually focusing on?
Well, there's 26 stories, 13 stories in book one, 13 stories in book two. And as I said, aside from the deep philosophical theological element of my work, I also look at time travel, going ahead in time, parallel universes, which is all centered on quantum mechanics, which is all to do with subatomic particles, and the possibility of there being...
Charm theory.
Absolutely.
Superstring theory.
Absolutely. So we're looking at stories that deal with parallel universes, which touches on the ontological, which is what is reality. Are there other dimensions that one can channel into? I also look at mind control, how in the future man will be controlled by robots at a cephalic level, that is, that our minds are actually controlled by signals in the future by robots. So I look at some really, really deep futuristic scenarios, and a lot of what I write is actually not science fiction, but I believe is science fact, or we're heading that way.
I can see the Wachowski brother and sister, of course, these days will be highly influenced in that. I almost had a Matrix moment there. Now, any good author needs a fabulous public relations person as well. Would you like to give a name check to
Absolutely.
The fine press person who's responsible for you today?
Antoinette.
Antoinette, good to see you.
Hi, thank you.
So how's the event been going from your own perspective?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I've noticed 98% of our clients have been American-based. Big turnout from America. So it's great.
It's just across the Atlantic, let's face it, you know, so it's working through that. And Anthony, tell us how far you've come to actually be at the World Science Fiction event today.
Well, this is my second day. It's going very, very well. As I said, most of the buyers have been from America. In fact, I feel like I'm actually in the USA, given the amount of Americans I've actually met. But it's my second day. Tomorrow, I'm actually going to be holding a presentation. What is Science, which is tomorrow at 1:30. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be looking at artificial intelligence, which is again at 1:30 on the Sunday, which is all to do with, well, a lot of my stories are to do with robotics in any case, and androids, and the whole notion of creating a machine to think and operate almost like as a human.
And for people who are listening to this online, which obviously a vast majority of our podcast listeners actually do, what's the best way to actually get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
Yes, I'm on quantumchronicles.com. That's www.quantumchronicles.com, and my email is af@quantumchronicles.com.
And are you based on this side of the Atlantic, or are you in the States?
Yes, I live in London. And I, as I said, I do a lot of talks, lectures. I've been on television recently on Revelation TV speaking about science and religion and how science, as I said, proves God's existence, etc. So I would love to hear from anyone that has any questions for me.
As I say, I'm sure there are
lots. I'm sure there's
millions. And I won't get started on the theological debates of Darwin and various other things, a whole range of things there. But excellent. Anthony Fuchila, delighted to meet you today. Again, author of Quantum Chronicles in the 11th Dimension. We salute you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Moving on in our general audio promenade here at the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, we're delighted to actually speak to the legend that is Steve Staffel. Steve, good to connect with you. Good self. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Recovering from the trip.
I'm going to say you're recovering from the party. Surely it's only day two. You can't have actually sort of been partying that hard as yet.
No, not too badly. But I came from the United States, so there was a little recovery involved there.
Now, you're on the Titan book stand. Would you like to just share with us why you're here, what you're doing, and so on?
Well, I'm an editor at Titan Books, so I acquire science fiction, fantasy, and some of the tie-in fiction as well. I'm here to help to support all of my author's books and help the fans enjoy them.
Now, a couple of writers who I'm sure will be known to you have worked for us and developed various other things, including guides to Fringe and other things, etc., include, of course, Paul Simpson and Tara Bennett, who are regulars in terms of magazines. I think Paul Simpson used to edit the Lost magazine, amongst other things, so a nice connection there. And, of course, we have Michelle Monroe, who you probably aren't familiar with, but Michelle Monroe, I think, responsible for one of Titan's rare non-fantasy or genre books. It was the biography of Matt Monroe.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the Matt Monroe biography caused quite a sensation in the office, and we were really happy back when we did the edition that came out with a CD of the music as well.
She was great. Well, Michelle is actually a weekly guest with us on Southside Broadcasting, so you see, Steve, we were destined to connect.
Oh, absolutely. We like to work very closely with all of our writers. That's actually, as an editor, I can say that's the most enjoyable part of the process. I went to lunch with the author, Tim Levin, the other day, and we discovered new ways to destroy the planet.
Which is all very positive, in a strangely bizarre dystopian way. Let's move on. Clearly, we've got a range of wonderful texts that are coming through in terms of this here. Do you mostly look after the books as opposed to the magazines?
Yes. I'm the senior acquisitions editor for books, and I work out of the United States, working closely with the London team, And because we are a global publisher, we get to work on things that end up pretty much everywhere.
We regularly speak with John Jarrell. We'll be speaking with him later on today. Of course, he's this side of the Atlantic, now a literary agent from that perspective. But I'm getting a sense that if science fiction is and fantasy, they're undergoing a renaissance in all their sort of fields now. I mean, they've always been very positive, but we seem to have moved beyond the sort of sense of simply being niche or genre-based broadcasting. They're literally the top 10 list bestsellers on a regular basis.
I think that's because so many of the people who have, over the years, embrace science fiction and fantasy have then come into positions of prominence in all of the different media. And so you have people who absolutely adore science fiction and fantasy. George R. R. Martin, of course, is a huge proponent of Worldcon. He comes every single year. Well, he's slightly popular these days. And I think
is it all due to HBO? No, surely not.
Well, I think it might have a little bit to do with his talent as a writer as well. But I also think that what's happening is that the popularity is going from the top down, and as a result, now the audience accepts science fiction and fantasy in ways that they never used to.
Now, looking ahead into some of the posters and the book covers we've actually got behind you, we've obviously got Gregory Benford, Larry Niven, Bowl of Heaven, a whole range of things. What are the sort of key things which you actually say these are worthwhile looking at? I mean, I'm looking, obviously, the advanced copy, which is actually signed by the legend that is Larry Niven, of Shipstar that's coming through.
Absolutely. Larry wasn't able to make it over for personal reasons, and so I was in touch with him, and we arranged for him to sign some book plates, and so a person can come to the convention here and get their copies of Bowl of Heaven and Shipstar signed by both Niven and Benford, even though Larry wasn't able to make it. We have a lot of our authors who are here, of course, and Frieda Warrington is here. Who else? Kim Newman, of course. Jack Campbell with The Lost Fleet. And so people get to meet and chat with the authors. I think that's one of the exciting things, again, is still being able to get to know the authors. Jack Campbell is an incredibly warm and enjoyable person to work with. And I think the fans can experience that firsthand.
So when we wrap up in a few days' time, where do you head off? Is it back over the Atlantic to sort of design and plan for the 73rd World Science Fiction Convention, or are there other books and things to be read in between times?
Well, there are a tremendous number of things. I've got a military science fiction called Virtues of War that is begging me to edit it right now, and two or three books right behind it that are sort of whimpering at me. But also the summer is very difficult because science fiction and fantasy are everywhere. I've come here from the San Diego Comic-Con International. Now I'm here. I go back to DragonCon in Atlanta, Georgia, and then to the Baltimore Comic-Con. The comics and science fiction world are merging quite a lot more these days. We've actually persuaded Jack Campbell to write brand new stories of the Lost Fleet, which are going to be adapted as graphic novels.
Very exciting. And of course, you mentioned DragonCon there. One of our regular correspondents over in the States is Phil Leonis, who co-hosts Chilpack Hollywood with Dean Haglund, and they regularly sing the praises of DragonCon, even more than San Diego Comic-Con when they've responded to it, because they say DragonCon is still very much fan-led.
Well, it's a little of both. San Diego Comic-Con has become very large, but what I find San Diego Comic-Con to be is a bunch of different conventions all inside of one. I've gone to every San Diego Comic-Con since 1984 and have seen its growth. And I still enjoy it tremendously. Dragon Con is very much fan-led. You see a parade through the downtown. You see it taking up multiple hotels. It's a great fun. There are conventions of every size, and all of them have something to offer.
And Steve, we have to ask the question, as we're into the second day here, what are your views on LonCon 3?
I'm enjoying it tremendously. I think the fans are wonderful. Almost as much fun as talking to the authors is talking to the people who read them.
Excellent. And a few name checks for some of your colleagues on the stand? Would you actually give me a few name checks for colleagues on the stand? Who else is actually working with you today?
Oh, my goodness.
If you can't remember, that's perfectly okay. Just the wonderful people.
I mean, we've got Chloe, we've got Chris, we've got a great many of the folks from Titan Books who are here, as well as quite a few from Forbidden Planet. One of our great advantages is that not only do we publish books, but we sell books through Forbidden Planet. So if you take a look at the variety that we've got here, it's not just Titan Books. It's just that the most exciting ones are from Titan.
Who would have thought back in the day of Dark They Were and Golden Eyes that that little stand and store that opened up in Denmark Street with the name of a 1950s science fiction movie based on The Tempest by William Shakespeare would lead Steve Seffel to become one of the legends of Titan Books and obviously to Worldcon. Just goes to show, great trees from little acorns grow.
Absolutely. It's astonishing to me. Living in the United States, I must say that I often wish that we had something of the quality of Forbidden Planet. It's unique. It's a huge.
You've got comic book store guy from The Simpsons. Really kidding.
Yeah, I'm not completely sure he would fit in.
No. Steve, a genuine delight. A reminder for people who actually want to access details about Titan Books online, the websites which obviously are there, what's the best place to go to?
To titanbooks.com or forbiddenplanet.co.uk.